Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Among professing believers, the question often arises has recently, does going to a church building on Sunday morning constitute true fellowship? And the answer is a resounding no, although there are a very few, that meet in a building, that's not a sin, and they are holding to the sound doctrine of Christ and the full counsel of Holy Scripture. But the more time goes on, the closer that we get to the return of Jesus Christ, the less you have of sound doctrine anywhere, and that includes inside of buildings on Sunday morning. Now let's discuss this so that we can seek to apprehend by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God what's really important to God. We know that the building is not important to God. The scripture tells us that ye are God's building, right? Also, we read in the book of Acts in the 17th chapter, verse 24, in other places in scripture, here it says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. God does not dwell in physical buildings so much as he dwells in the temples of the Holy Spirit, which would be his own children. You might recall 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. The scripture says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? He made you, and he indwells you if you're born again, and ye are not your own. He's asking questions here. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we see here that you and I are the temples of the Holy Spirit, whereas under the old covenant, God had Moses and the children of Israel build a tabernacle where he dwells. But now that Jesus has come to the earth and died on the cross, having sent his Holy Spirit to live in each of his people, we, friends, born-again believers, are now the very dwelling place of God in this life. And so it seems obvious from Scripture that God doesn't put emphasis on a physical building. The only value in the kingdom of Christ is the people of God and how they are adhering to the sound doctrine and practices of his word. Recently, someone posted the following meme. I've got it in the post here on safeguardyoursoul.com of this particular podcast. The title is, does going to a church building on Sunday mornings constitute true fellowship? That's an important question, and we're seeking to see what scripture says in answer to this question. This is often, as I mentioned earlier, discussed among believers, and so we're exploring what the importance, if any, of a church building. Well, what matters is not the place we meet in, but where we are in worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Now, so often today we have men who have hijacked the people of God, who have made them believe that the storehouse, if you will, Malachi 3, was their little physical church building and the beginning end of their walk with God, basically, even though they don't come out and say it, is meeting at that little building on Sunday morning, little or big, and that is where they anchor the people, which is a great deception. Instead of teaching those people that they don't need any man or men, they need Christ, and Christ calls them to deny themselves, to repent, be saved, and then every day to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Him no matter where they are. They speak in terms of serving God, quote unquote, as is associated only with and usually their storehouse, as they call it, their so-called church building, the official place where you're supposed to go to worship God. But I would ask us a few questions here before we get to this meme, as far as what is the proof that these church building, physical building based so-called churches are actually of God? Well, there seems to be a whole lot of proof that most of them are not of God. The proof is in the fruit. Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruit." Just step back for a minute. Detach yourself if you're a churchgoer for a moment. And let's ask a few questions that are valid questions biblically, as we know or discern the local churches by their fruits as a whole. That's Matthew 7, 16 through 20. Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruit," not the profession, but the actual fruit of what is being produced, because it's the root that determines the fruit. So if there's good fruit, according to John 15, Matthew 12, etc., if there's good fruit, that means it's coming from a good root. If the fruit is not good, the root is cursed. It's not biblical. It's not according to the original gospel of Jesus Christ and the doctrines therein. So what has the modern church, so-called modern church, produced, friends, other than a generation of self-serving counterfeits, just as we read about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, where they would be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form, a mere formula or formality of godliness, but denying the power, the authority of Christ to reign in their daily lives. That's more than obvious, especially to any real disciple who is always, without fail, a biblical student, a student of the Bible. And let me say this, because I love you, get a King James Bible, beloved. Get rid of the trash. We have a whole category on this topic called Bible Versions Issue on the desktop version of safeguardyoursoul.com. It's on the right hand of every page. There's a drop-down menu. Just hit B. It's alphabetical. Go to Bible Versions Issue. Don't believe me. Compare yourself side by side, and you will clearly see if you are a man or woman who truly fears God and a man or woman of truth that the King James Bible is clearly, irrefutably, the preserved Word of God for the English-speaking peoples, in fulfillment of Psalm 12, 6, and 7, where God says that He was going to preserve His Word to all generations, which He did for us, English-speaking people, in the King James Bible. One born-again saint put it this way concerning local churches. He said, "Refusing to sit under the false gospel, false doctrines, false teachers, and wolves of the modern church is not forsaking the assembling of yourself together." And that is going to be Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, which is the verse so many often use to instruct people, as we're going to see by the meme above, and when we read it in a moment, to go to church. It never says that. We're never told in the Bible, go to church every week. Jesus qualified our walk with Him as being daily. If you look up the word daily, especially in the Gospels, you will see it's a lesson all by itself. Jesus calls us to serve Him daily. And the way He tells us to do that, for example, Luke 9, 23 and 24, is deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me daily. Take up your cross daily and follow me. That's the only way to follow Jesus on His prescription. It's daily, and it's a crucified life. Again, Luke 9, 23 and 24, this is the central message of Christ, if you're going to be His disciple, and His apostles throughout the whole New Testament canon. You've got to deny yourself, not celebrate yourself, give yourself treats, and do everything to pamper self. That's the problem in all of the modern churches, most of them, the vast majority, are doing nothing but feeding your flesh. They're never telling you, and I'm telling you this on the basis of being saved for 40 years now, how many churches have you been into, based in buildings or any fellowship, that are pastors are telling you must die to yourself? Romans 6, Galatians 2:20, it's everywhere. We've got a daily cross category on safeguardyoursoul.com. We also have at least 3 books on the cross. Everything is about the cross. It's threaded throughout all of the teachings because that's what it is in the Bible. It's the central message of the cross Christ preached. He died on the cross to save us into his kingdom and told us we must deny ourselves and follow him in the crucified life every day. So you rarely hear this message. I mean, when's the last time you went to a gathering? Doesn't matter where it was on God's green earth. Might have been under a tree somewhere. Might have been in a coffee shop where somebody is telling you, a real disciple, that God looks you right in the eyes and says, God calls you to be crucified with Christ. You cannot overcome sin that separates you from he who is holy, holy, holy if you don't obey him by denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him, the daily cross, the crucified life, where you're liquidated and raised up by the glory and grace and power of Jesus Christ. In fact, let me just tell you this, my friend. I tell brothers in particular all the time, they call, you know, they talk about sin that might some of them at times struggling with. And one of the things I share with them is I never began to get traction and victory over any sin in my life as a believer until I began to taste and see that the Lord is good by simply doing it his way and saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. That is the national anthem declaration of every true Bible believer. Now, right there, that message of the cross, if we'll be honest, we are not hearing it almost anywhere, nowhere. And it's all over the Bible. You got to be crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. In fact, Galatians 5:24 says, they that are Christ, I'm Christ, don't you? They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Also, Galatians again, 6:14. God forbid that I should glory, Paul says, save or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Colossians 3:3. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Also, how about 1 Corinthians 9:27? Paul says, but I keep, he's getting ready to talk about the 5 sins in the very ensuing verses, the next 13 verses, that separate God's people from him and prevent them from entering the promised land of eternal glory, just like it did in the old covenant. And this is in the New Testament. So he says, I keep under my body. That's the crucified life. Later in this book, he says, I die daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31. Right here, 9:27. But I keep under my body. It's perpetual. Remember, Jesus said, you must deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. There it is, perpetual. Crucifixion. And by the way, God is not going to raise anybody up that's not willing to and praying and applying the cross and saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. That right there, as I mentioned earlier, should be the national anthem or declaration of your life. Lord, you must increase, but I must decrease. And man, when you start seeing how he's raising you up, as I said earlier, you're going to go, wow, I am late to this party. This is rocking. It right, because it's the power generator of the Christian life. We can read the Bible and see what he told us to do, but the way that actually happens, beloved, is by the resurrection power of Jesus in your daily life. The Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, Romans 8:11, that raised up Jesus from the dead, is going to raise you up, but only if you crucify with Christ. So if you're listening to this message and you're saying, man, I've never been able to have victory over such and such a sin, well, this is your answer. It's not my answer. It's the Bible's answer. It's the divine solution and prescription to all sin. I told somebody recently, I said, brother, the sins that used to plague me regularly are completely vanished and vanquished from my life, from and by the cross. Nothing good of my own. Romans 7:18, there is no good thing that dwelleth in me, Paul said, and I say it myself right now. Verse 24, Romans 7, O wretched man that I am. That's right. If I'm not in Christ, in the cross, presently, that's who I am. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Romans 6, 7, and 8, so vital to the Christian walk. All of the book of Romans, it is called, for good reason, the ABCs of the Christian faith. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I'm just giving you one example of why going to a building is not your answer. Seeking God is. Let me tell you this before I forget. Listen, we have seen lots of people get saved over the last several years. In fact, somebody got saved today. A man just got saved in Florida last week, just before he died, and the fruit was there. He was testifying to his daughter of how he prayed in repentance and was saved by Jesus Christ. Another man gloriously got saved today. And we're telling them, is instructing them, encouraging, exhorting them as brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ to seek God's face continually, daily in your own life. Somebody wants to go find a church, that's fine. But that's not what's important. It's your worship and obedience to God by faith through the Word and the Holy Spirit every day in your life. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. The man who was saved today. We went through volumes of scripture on walking with God and on the final divine authority of His Word. One of them was 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes in Christ, desire the sincere, the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We're getting them established in Christ, not a church. If they're going to go pick a church, 99 out of 100 are going to be run by false teachers. The Bible foretold, Jesus said that in the last days before his return, many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:11. The Apostle Paul said that in the last days, the people who claim to know Jesus, having a mere form of godliness, but they deny the cross, they deny Christ's reign in their life through the cross, the crucified life, they have a mere form of godliness, and yet there are many deceivers among them. He said, evil men, in verse 13 of 2 Timothy 3, and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So this is what you have in most of the building-based modern churches. So if I send somebody that Jesus saves to go get caught up in that. And we've seen that over the years for sure. So I don't do that anymore. Personally, I'm just telling you how I operate in this thing and giving you scripture for it. You got to walk in the scriptures yourself. The word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, 105. And we direct people to God, not to us. They don't need us. They don't need to go find a church. We are the church. We're the called out people of God. That's the Greek word for church. Jesus didn't come to die so these men can set themselves up as leaders in what they call their church. No, Jesus died to put his spirit in every one of his saints and to fill them with the word and to lead God and direct them. The scripture warns us to beware lest any man spoil or ruin you to the traditions of the world, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For you are complete in Christ. That, my friends, is Colossians 2, verse 8 through 10. Monumentally important. Beware, Paul says, lest any man, any mere man, spoil or ruin you. Now, if this wasn't possible, why are there so many warnings about it in the Bible? Well, it's possible and it's happening and God cares. Listen, warning, Paul had just said in chapter 1, verse 28 of Colossians, that he did three things to protect the body of Christ, to establish them in Christ and to preserve that they would be prepared to meet Christ when he comes. PWT is a natural acronym. We got a lot about that on the site. PWT, just put that in the search box and hit return. It'll come up. PWT, preach, warn, teach. That's the apostolic model. Preach, warn, teach. Now, most men aren't warning you of false teachers and false prophets, which alone makes them suspect as being such themselves. Preach, warn, teach. Preaching the word of God, warning to protect the body, and teaching, grounding the believers in the word of God. Notice verse 6, Colossians 2. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. You've received Christ, you repented and got saved you through Christ, and now God says, walk with him. Walk ye in Christ. The only way to do that is through the cross, the crucified life. Otherwise, you're not doing it God's way, and you're doing your own thing because you're lawless and rebellious and refuse to truly repent. Those that are truly the Lord say, yes, Lord, I trust in you with all my heart. I lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge you, Lord. I am not going to be wise in my own conceit. I repent, Lord, cleanse me. And they fast and pray regularly, and they walk with God in the crosswalk. Verse 7, Colossians 2. Now, why is he saying this? Because in verse 4, he speaks of those who would beguile you with enticing words, who would mislead you. All right, verse 7, Colossians 2. Rooted and built up in him. We are being ever more deeply rooted in Christ and built up in him. And notice the roots go down. That represents the death and burial. And then built up, notice the word up. That's the resurrection. It's all over the Bible, beloved saints. People have said the cross is on every page of the Bible. Well, look for it because they're telling the truth. And you'll find that yourself once your eyes be open. So we got three books, as I mentioned earlier, on this. And it's only for one thing, to help people be rooted and grounded through the scriptures in the cross life. One of them's called a book. It's all on safeguardyoursoul.com/store, or they're all on Amazon. So one of them's called I Die Daily. Another one's called 31 Cross Prayers to Pray Each Morning, one for each morning of the month. And the other one is called Raised Up, as in resurrected. That's a Bible phrase, raised up. So verse 7, Colossians 2, rooted and built up in him and established, don't you love it, in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware. Paul's warning. Why? Because he's rude? No, because he loves the saints. If a man's not warning you about false teachers and false teachings, he is a false teacher. 100%. Going back to our original question, you tell me how many of these local churches have a real man of God that's actually warning the people and protecting and watching for their souls. Like almost none. That alone tells you they're manned, if that's the right word. I don't even think that does justice. Those pulpits, the people in those pulpits are wolves in sheep's clothing. It doesn't matter what else they're doing. They're not obeying God by warning you. God says to Ezekiel 3:7, warn them from me. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror, the judgment of the Lord upon all who die in sin, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Persuade is kind of cousin to warning, an exhortation and admonition. So he says he warns here. By the way, the prophets warned, Jesus warned, and all the apostles warned. So how can a man be a true man of God if he's not warning? Well, he simply is not a true man of God. He is a wolf in sheep's clothing. It doesn't matter what else he's doing, beloved. John says, beware of false prophets. Beloved, believe not every spirit, he says. He tells us, he tells the people of God, 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. If you believe every everybody that comes along claiming to be a pastor, an elder, or whoever, you're disobeying God. Remember, he says, again, beloved, believe not every spirit. That's a command. Do not believe everybody that comes along. Become discerning. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 44:23, that true men of God are going to teach you to discern between the holy and the profane. That's Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 23. Let me read that to you. Ezekiel, the prophet, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, and they, that's the true overseers of God's people, men that are true to God, to his word, they shall teach my people the difference. There is a difference between, as a separator, the holy and profane, and cause them, the people, they teach the people, to discern between the unclean and the clean. That is a mouthful of God's wisdom right there. Anybody who's properly walking as an elder in the body of Christ is simply helping the body of Christ to learn the word, to rightly divide the word of truth by studying to show their own self approved unto God. Again, you don't need a man. You need God and the body of Christ, no doubt. Doesn't matter where you meet or when, by the way. And you need to be in the word yourself. My people, are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. Hosea 4:6. If you're not in the Word, you've already backslidden. Yeah, you have. I know many of you listening go to church every week, but you're not even in the Word. What does that tell you right there? Boom, case closed. Going to these local churches is a good way to go to hell, basically. It's a good way to be rocked into lukewarmness. I mean, most of these pansies we call pastors are such lightweights. First of all, they're using a fake Bible. It's not the King James Bible. It's a fake counterfeit. That ought to tell you something. That alone is apostasy, my friends. And look, any man who doesn't have a problem or something inside of them that tells them that those Bibles are false and to search the truth as to what's the real Bible, that man's not walking in the Spirit. Let me go on record right now to tell you that. The Holy Spirit is not leading any man to pollute his own mind and everybody else he influences with a fake Bible. For example, Romans 8:1 is chopped in half in the fake Bibles. The blood of Jesus is removed from Colossians 1:14. I'm not even going to get started on that one because that's never ending. You don't believe me? Go compare for yourself. And anybody that's in Christ and has a little bit of the fear of God and they see that Romans 8:1 is chopped in half is going to burn the garbage that they once thought was the Bible. It's not the Bible. Slapping Holy Bible, the words on a book, does not make it the Holy Bible. They have butchered those fake Bibles, friends. Also, Colossians 1:14. We can't be saved outside of the blood of Christ. If that doesn't bother you that the blood has been ripped out of Colossians 1:14 and it's in the original aggregate majority manuscripts, the Textus Receptus, then you got a problem. That doesn't bother you. I doubt you're saved. Hebrews 9:22. That without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, it tells us. Colossians 2:7, 8, 9, and 10. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man, me or anybody else, spoil or ruin you through philosophy and vain deceit. You ever notice when you're talking to people or they're explaining something about God, supposedly about God, there's a lot of human reasoning inserted there. I was talking to a pastor not long ago, a 3-hour discussion that he actually initiated, and several times in that conversation, I stopped him. I said, what you just said is mere human reasoning. It's not Bible. It's lovingly showing him and trying to show him so he can be corrected by the Word that we are to lean not into our own understanding. We have to have Bible for everything we say and teach and believe. Beware lest any man, and by the way, beware yourself. You and I, there's no good thing in us except Christ. The quicker you come to admit that and come to that realization biblically, Romans 7, and surrender, say, Lord, without you, I can do nothing, Jesus. John 15:5. Crucify me, anoint me to be crucified with Christ. And Lord, give me a pure heart, Lord. Jesus said, blessed are who? The pure in heart, for they are the only ones that are going to see God. Matthew 5, verse 8. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through what? Philosophy, something that's not biblical. And vain deceit after the tradition of men, they're just following the traditions they were taught, like once saved, always saved. It's not in the Bible. The Bible completely demolishes that filthy, wicked idea. In fact, it's the first lie Satan ever told to mankind, which led to his fall. That's irrefutable. That's why nobody will debate me on that. You can't get around it, but they are going to stick to the tradition that they've been taught because it sells. It gets people in the church building to be lied to and to lead to straight into hell. That's a lie from hell. Any man teaching once saved, always saved is preaching another gospel and is accursed. Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. Go look at what God said and then look at what Satan said. What one three-letter word did he add to what God said? I'm going to leave it at that. Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. So we're to beware lest any man spoil us through what? Philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the thinking and the principles of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him, that's Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's all in Christ. And ye are complete in who? In Christ. So we're going to bounce back to the cross. We're covering a lot of ground, but saying these things to compare what we're seeing and hearing in these so-called church houses as compared to what the Bible says. And the cross is at the forefront of the message of the original gospel. And Paul says, but I keep under my body, 1 Corinthians 9:27, perpetually crucified, in other words. He says that also in 2 Corinthians 4:10-12. And bring it into subjection. I keep under my body body and bring it into subjection. You got to keep the flesh crucified. That's why we have scriptures like Isaiah 58 on fasting and prayer. You should have at least one day scheduled into your life and schedule at the forefront. I like to do it on Monday, putting God first on the weekday of Monday. It's just my personal. Jesus said, when you fast, Matthew 6:16, not if you fast. That's the cross. You're saying, Lord, I want more of you and less of me. And that's going to wind up being your happiest day as it is with mine. I'm dancing, man. Dancing on sin's grave, baby. Putting it 6 foot under. When you're crucified with Christ, the sins that used to completely tempt, draw you into, and destroy your life, bringing misery and separation from God, are going to be put 6 feet under. But it's only when you are crucified with Christ, dead and buried, that he's going to raise you up out of that into his glorious liberty and in the power of the Spirit to not only overcome sin, but to be a powerful vessel for Jesus Christ in the earth in this final hour before he returns. So Paul says, he keeps under his body and brings it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, in the end, after I've done all of this ministry, if I don't keep my body under and I allow sin to reign in my mortal body, Romans 6, I'm going to die in sin and go straight to hell. Be cast away from God again. Once saved, always saved is a lie from hell. Okay, so much to cover here. The text part of this is going to be much richer and more full as usual. Hebrews 10:25, the scripture says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So getting together with the saints is what this is talking about. In the early church, Acts 2, the end of Acts 2, beginning in verse 42, we see where the earliest believers, before any sin entered in, they gathered house to house daily, and they fellowshiped. And what was their fellowship like? What did they do in those fellowship? What was involved? I want to know what real fellowship is so I'm not being misled and just carried on in somebody's tradition that they picked up from the previous generation, and then generation after generation, they just passed this stuff on to people, just like the Pharisees. And that's the same thing we have in the modern church. Notice in Acts 2:42, and they continued, the born-again believers who are now filled with the Spirit, they got together every day. Watch this. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That is the word of God, which we now have in print. That's the teachings of Jesus given to his apostles who gave it to the world. And now it's on record in the pages of Scripture. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. These people, all of these people that got saved, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. So four things they did. They continued in the word, apostles' doctrine, fellowship. What's true fellowship? Well, read the word and ask that question and let the word answer that question. And in breaking of bread, obviously communion, eating together, and in prayers. Look how simple it was. There was no band, cheerleading band. I mean, that's a whole nother part of the discussion, but you got these pastors who set up good music in order to get to people to come, and then they're not grounding them in Christ. They're not preaching the cross. They're not getting them in the word. So they're false teachers. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now, how many people you know that a church goes are fearing God? Probably not many. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Notice what they did. They had all things common. What does that mean? And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So they liquidated the things they didn't need and gave it to people that are the body of Christ specifically. When you see giving in the word, it's always God's people giving to God's people, helping them. They didn't keep all kinds of stuff in the bank or in real estate or whatever tied up in that. They got it to the people that were in need. This is what happens when people really repent and get saved. They, continuing daily, there it is again, with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Somebody says, well, wait a minute, they were meeting in the temple. Well, at that time, as you read on in Acts, they pretty much got kicked out of the temples because they were Jewish and stuff. And so many have left the church, the organized church today, probably not because they're forsaking Christ, but rather to preserve their own faith because men are departing from the faith, as we see in 1 Timothy 4:1-2. The time is going to come when they will not adhere to sound doctrine. They're going to depart from the faith, but they're not departing from the pulpit. They're still standing in the pulpit, and now they're misleading others. Praising God, it says in verse 47, and having faith with all the people, the Lord, not men, added to the church daily. So such as should be saved. You ever notice in these churches, they get people in church membership. That's not God adding to his church. His church is his. Jesus said, I will build my church. What does that mean? He'll send out men to start these churches and mislead people. No, building his kingdom truth in the hearts of his people. That's what he means by building his church. Not some man that's trying to make a good living off of being a pastor, but not leading people in the way of truth. Because if you do that, if you preach holiness, the holiness of God, and the fact that he said, be holy for I am holy, judgment to come, the cross, the crucified life, eternal judgment and damnation to all who die in sin, and conditional eternal security, all of these biblical doctrines, repentance, etc. If they teach that, they're not going to have a big crowd. So they're going to modify the message. They're going to tailor make it to tickle the ears of the people. That's what Paul warned about. He said, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure. They won't hold themselves accountable to sound doctrine. But after their own lust, they haven't repented. They aren't crucified with Christ. Shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? They're going to be turned away from the truth and turned unto fables or stories. A lot of storytellers out there that won't preach the word and make all kinds of excuses why they want to tickle your ears. That's 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4. And daily, 5:42 of Acts, in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. When's the last time you heard Jesus preached? Not very often. All right, so the fruit, as we possibly come to a close here, we begin to ask a few questions to qualify whether or not your local church is true or false. Where is the evangelism, by the way? So many times you have people trying to sell you and come into their church. They're nothing but indoctrinated pawns of the pastor. He needs more people because people mean money. These people need to be exposed. They're making merchandise of the people by selling them on a false gospel and not getting them at the feet of Christ and the Father themselves in the Word of God. But they teach the people to be dependent on them, and they're lying to them to get their money. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. They're making merchandise of the people. No different than what the phony Jews were doing in the Gospels when Jesus in John 2 and Matthew 21 went in there and flipped the tables and cracked the whip. They had turned that which is supposed to be the place of worship of God into a den of thieves. But Jesus said his Father's house is a house of prayer, which means communion with God. But those people were intercepted from worshiping God in spirit and in truth by the false teachers who were making merchandise of them. That's a good picture. We see that throughout Scripture. Read Jeremiah 23 and Ezekiel chapter 34 and Matthew 23. But put your seatbelt on before you begin reading those, because your mind may be blown at all of the revelation on false leaders and how they exploit the people and lead them straight into hell. Jesus said, the blind lead the blind into the ditch. And that means they lead them into spiritual darkness and ultimately damnation. So we aren't even going into the topic of church membership. We do have a church membership category on the drop-down menu, safeguardyoursoul.com, or you can just put church membership in the search box. This is very intriguing dive into the modern church's church membership drive, which it constantly usually pushes, and that's for the self-serving advantage and agenda of those who are guiding and leading that church. It's nowhere to be found in the New Testament. That is, there's no such thing as church membership drives or signing people up to be a part and a member of your church. There's only one church. That's the blood church of Jesus Christ, made up of every born-again believer across his beautiful earth. And so we dive into that on that category. We have several posts on that matter. But once they get you to become a church member, they have you feeding in your pretty much country club dues, if you will. You're paying tithes. I know if you're going to sign up to be a church member that you're more apt to be involved in your giving and everything. And the problem is that the gifts that are given are only to perpetuate the existence of that church and not to go and preach and teach the Word of God and do the stated Great Commission mandate of Jesus. And so no real gospel work is usually being done. It's more about building the idol edifice of church building and maintaining. By the way, there wasn't a penny ever collected in the New Testament to build any kind of special building that's called a church building. So some things to consider. In my estimation from Scripture, we need to put our money where the gospel is actually being taught, the Word of God, with no respect to doctrine other than Genesis to Revelation, the full counsel of God, where people are being born again, they're being water baptized, they're being filled with the Spirit, they're learning how to walk with God all by themselves every day with the body of Christ, and quite frankly, just lives being changed by Jesus for His glory, and people that are living for His soon return, just like your health, man. You have to take personal responsibility over it. We know now, after this murderous scam that happened in 2020 and 2021, to murder as many people as possible. If you still don't see that, you need to get right, because you're in darkness. Hey, we see the same thing being done in the spiritual realm, where people are being lied to and taught to depend on a certain priesthood of mere men, and it's spiritually deadly. We must take precedence over our own physical health, and most importantly, over our own spiritual health, by getting into the Word of God ourselves. I want to exhort you right now, my friend, to memorize, write it on an index card, obviously and only from the King James Bible, if you're an English-speaking person, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. And that's another thing we can ask. Are these local pastors getting people in the Word? No. It's a resounding no. You're backslidden if you're not in the Word. Wait a minute, I go to church. God didn't say to go to church on Sunday. He said, don't forsake assembling with believers. He didn't say it had to be once a week. People get all proud of themselves because they're part of this country club they call church, with all of this entertainment going on, and they're not even in the Word themselves. You got to be kidding me. I need to start recording some of the conversations I have with people. It gets real quiet, saints. I mean real quiet. When these questions are asked, are you learning to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus in the crucified life? It's all shut down right there. The smile vanquishes immediately. The fake joy and elation is gone. When you ask, are people in the Word every day, studying to show themselves approved unto God? Are they laying down their lives in this fleeting world? Are they losing their lives, like Jesus said, in this fleeting world? Crucified with Christ, learning and memorizing and meditating upon His Word every day. Kind of have learned, some of us, myself, at the forefront of this. I'm slow learners. I'm not trying to be in an argument with them. I'm trying to introduce biblical rhetorical questions to test and examine whether or not they're in a true New Testament fellowship or just being a pawn of some enterprising man who calls himself a pastor. Now, also, we've all been churchgoers, most of us. Are we behaving one way at home and another way at the so-called designated church? Church building. If you read the Bible in church and you don't devour it at home on a daily basis, what does that say of you? If you prayers in a church building on Sunday morning, you're not living a life of prayer. What does that tell us, saints? This is good stuff, right? You got to realize where the sin is in your life. That's what I need to realize. In order to say, Lord, you know what? That's sin. I'm calling for what it is. I repent. Please forgive me, Lord. And you start learning to be taught of God to die to yourself so that He can raise you up and get that stuff out of your life. All right, so if we raise our hands, here's another question, in a so-called church, official church building, and yet we're not praising God at home and even other places with hands and hearts lifted high, what does that really tell us? We're not winning, so we're not trying to communicate the gospel and get other people saved. We're not engaged in sharing the Word and lifting up other believers, even more importantly, and we are going to try to sell other people on going to that church. Why? So they can be poisoned also? Please, saints. The most authentic, fruitful, cross-bearing disciples of Jesus I personally know do not attend a church on Sunday morning. They seek God every day. They meet with other believers, whether by technology or in person, hopefully both, in coffee shop and home, all the time. Every day they fellowship with Jesus and other people. No, they obey Jesus. They follow him daily as he commanded in Luke 9, 23 and 24, etc. Show me a Sunday morning so-called church where the cross, the crucified life, Jesus' mandate is being taught, and where people are being taught to get in the word for themselves and depend on God themselves. Show me that. There's very few like that, if any, these days. Case closed. False gospel, false Bibles, false teaching, false prophets. As we close, friend, recently, again, as I mentioned earlier, someone posted a meme, and I have it right here. I'm going to post it into the text version of this message. Again, the title, Does Going to a Church Building on Sunday Mornings Constitute True Fellowship? Simple and straight up answer is no. That does not. Most people that go to church buildings on Sunday morning have none of the fruits of a true disciple. Very little. Singing in the choir, helping the pastor clean the bathrooms at a church building is not serving God. I know he convinced you of that. And next time you raise your hand and you want to go on a mission trip, guess who's going to pay for it? You are. They're not going to pay for it. With all the money they have in the bank that they've collected for God's work, that goes to them. Whatever they want to do with it. They don't honor you as a servant and minister of Christ. That's another huge red flag. Huge. Huge. They're not pouring into the lives and ministries of other people. They're exploiting them for their money so that they can get rich off of them and have a $250 or $500 or more $1,000 salary living in the gated community while other people's bills go unpaid. That's totally unlike the early church. And to Acts 2, as we read earlier, and to Acts 4. They had all things common. They helped and loved one another. The way we spend our money as an individual or these churches is a direct reflection of the priorities of our heart. There you are, you've been giving to that ministry for years, and you want to go serve God in South America, wherever they're going to go set up, you know, go minister, and the pastor's telling you that you got to raise your own money because all of the money they have sitting in the bank, you're not worthy of that money to go do the work of God, but they're worthy of it. You not see something wrong with that? That's huge. Red flag. So they posted this meme about going to church. This is typical. I mean, I'm not even bashing this guy. I'm not even going to mention who the count was that did this. And they're talking about why go to church. And then they call people idiots on this meme that say, I am the church. Anyway, you can read this whole thing. Just because he says that's what the Bible indicates, that's what we should do. Hebrews 10:25. But if you are saved, shouldn't you want to go? That is, go to church? Well, yeah, you should want a fellowship with other believers every day, letting the word of Christ dwell in you individually and as a body, richly teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Saints, let me give this warning, which I would be remiss if I do. I really want to encourage you that you people of God that discern that the modern church is full of wolves, as the Bible said it would be, and any student of the Bible knows that, as we've been discussing in this message, make sure that you are personally fellowshipping with God and other of his saints every day, no matter what it takes. That's your personal responsibility. The fact that which claims to be representing Christ, the so-called church, is misrepresenting him does not in any way negate your personal responsibility to seek the face of the Lord every day in his word and in prayer, first thing upon awaking in the morning, and having fellowship with other of his saints. Let me ask you this as we close, because we answered this all the way through there, some of which I touched on in this audio message, as far as the importance or the non-essential of going to a church building on Sunday morning. Some people need to go to church on Sunday morning. They're not mature enough to swim, and they're going to sink if they don't have some kind of semblance of fellowship. So that's fine. I'm not knocking you if you go to church. But as far as that being something essential taught in the Bible, not at all. The early church didn't do that. There wasn't any, no instruction, you go to church and you be in church on Sunday morning. That's usually for the self-serving agenda of those who want to make a proselyte out of you, but yet they're not watching for your souls and preaching the pure word of God to you. There is no stated necessity in the scriptures to, quote, be at a certain church building, so-called church building, on Sunday morning. But there is the command to fellowship, and that should be daily. Actually, it's the wolves who issues, Hebrews 10:25, which we read earlier about not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together for their own agenda, while they refuse to truly teach the pure word of God and get you into the word of God and watch for your souls, Hebrews 13:7-17. Another two misused scriptures by many pastors in the same book of Hebrews, 10:25, 13:7-17. As we close, think about it, friends. You've attended, or in the past you attended a church on Sunday mornings. Were you in the word yourself? Were you learning the word and able to share it with others? About 99% of the so-called Christians I know that are regular church goers have no semblance of Jesus in their life. There's no power in their life. They're not living a crucified life. They're not in the word of God. They're not full of the Holy Spirit, and therefore they aren't ministering to other people. Now, what fruit is that? Is that good fruit or bad fruit? Well, we know that is bad fruit. And may God rebuke and minister his truth to us as is needed and he sees fit. Hebrews 3:13, but exhort one another daily. Notice they don't quote this verse. For not weekly, not on Sunday morning. People get all impressed because they go to church on Sunday morning, while true believers are worshiping God every day. Again, Hebrews 3:13 as we close. But exhort one another daily, not weekly, daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So, in this very verse, we see that if you don't worship God and exhort the brethren and minister and feed your spirit with the word of God every day, you're going to be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Daily. Weekly is not good enough. Jesus said, you serve me daily or you're not serving him at all. True elders, pastors, etc., do not need a certain official so-called church building to conduct themselves as overseers. If that's what you need to be doing the will of God, you need to get saved, it sounds like to me. If you kick into this ministry gear when you walk into some building, that's ridiculous. The whole earth is the building of God, the scripture says. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And we are his building. 1 Corinthians tells us that ye are God's building. Chapter 3 verse 9, which states, for we are laborers together with God. That's plural. We are laborers together. We're a team for Jesus, if you will, the body of Christ in the earth. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. That's God's building, not a physical building. You're God's building. And here he continues in verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, you're the building God indwells, and that the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit of God, dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let's pray, friends. Heavenly Father, we ask you to teach us thy ways, O God, through thy word. Rebuke us, unite our hearts to fear thy name, Lord. And let us be crushed, Lord. Let us be poor in spirit, Lord, completely and always desperate for you in the innermost part of our disposition. Lord, we ask you to remove the stony places that have been hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And Lord, give us hearts of flesh. Unite our hearts to fear thy name and fill us with your spirit right now and use us in this last hour. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, that you're sanctifying, you're saving and sanctifying and using people that you fill with your spirit and that you're teaching the daily cross to, raising them up in your power into great fruitfulness for your eternal glory as we look for your soon return in Jesus' name.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several, many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.